Talk some NBA. As promised, we are joined right now by a guard for the Portland Trailblazers. He is in his fifth NBA season. Last night, huge game against Houston. He went off for 24-6-4 for the season. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists per game. He was the 2016 Most Improved Player. Remember, played his college ball at Lehigh. He was taken number 10 overall in 2013. Portland is at New Orleans tomorrow night. CJ McCollum is my guest. CJ, Happy New Year. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Good, man. Great to have you back. I'm so good. So you dropped a tough one in Houston last night. It was the second game of a back-to-back. That was after you won 3 straight, including wins over OKC in San Antonio. So what I'm getting at is it's a long season. Are you able to shake off last night pretty quickly and get ready for tomorrow night, or do losses sting with you no matter how and when they happen?
No, I mean, it definitely hurt, especially close games. You feel like you should have won. You kind of review the game in your head, you know, different possessions and things you could have done better. But like you said before, it's such a long season. You can't hang your head too long because you always have a game within, I'd say, 24 to 36 hours. So got to be ready to turn the corner.
Now, late in last night's game, when it appeared to be decided and Houston could have just simply dribbled out the clock, Chris Paul went in for a layup. It seemed like Damian Lillard was less than pleased with that. In your opinion, did Paul violate an unwritten rule in that situation? And is that something you would have done?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you look at how the game was going. I think we just scored on a possession before that, and then we fouled. Maybe they thought that we were going to foul him again, want to get a quick 2 points. I'm not sure what the thought process was there. But, it's the NBA. There is an unwritten rule, but growing up, you play till the zero. So if you don't want somebody to score, I mean, I guess we should have fouled him. I should have chased him down and fouled him before he laid it up. But it's a tough one. It's a tough one. When it happens against you, you never like it. Just put it like that.
So it's just one of those things, and you keep moving. Or maybe is that going to be in the back of your mind?
I mean, you use whatever you can to motivate yourself. Obviously, we're all driven from within, but If that's what it takes for somebody to get up for another game, then we can try to use that as a bench. But we got to do a better job of taking care of games and winning so that we're not in that position.
CJ McCollum joining us. All right, so go back to Tuesday night. You led all scorers in the win over OKC. You had 27 that night, including 15 on 7 of 9 in the third quarter. So when you're in the zone like that and you get on a roll like that, I mean, what's that feel like? Is there a sense that nobody who's in front of you can stop you?
Yeah, it's definitely a feeling to where you feel like, regardless of if you get space or separation or not, the ball's going in. I think our staff did a good job of putting me in a position to succeed. Guys were setting screens for me, allowing me to get open. And then once I got a couple of the fall, it was all downhill from there. It was a pretty good game for us, and one that we were able to steal one on the road without Dame and pull away pretty comfortably before we headed into that Houston game last night.
You know, you mentioned without Dame, you've won 3 of your last 4, you've won 4 of 6, and this is coming during a stretch where he's missed a number of games. So overall, where do you think the team is at this point of the season? Do you feel like this team has started to find its identity? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. You know, early on in the season, we were defending extremely well, you know, top 5 in the NBA, but offensively, we're in the bottom half. Not very efficient, not getting a lot of assists, not getting any transition baskets. So I think we're heading in the right direction, having scored over 110 points the last 5 games. We're still defending at the top 5 mark, and now we're improving offensively, getting more assists, and having a more fluent offense. I think halfway through the season, considering how we've played, you got to be happy that we're in the 5th spot.
Blazers guard CJ McCollum joining us once again. Now, you were on the cover of Slam magazine earlier this season, and for that piece, Kobe said the following. Let me read you this quote. CJ never seemed to view himself the way the basketball market viewed him. He always felt like he was better than what people viewed him to be. Because of that, I think he's always played with a chip on his shoulder. He's always worked harder than everyone else to prove what he believed his value was. End quote. So in your opinion, is that how it was? And then what's it mean to hear that from a guy like Kobe?
I mean, I think that's very accurate. I've always been under the radar. I've always had, you know, people say I wasn't capable of doing certain things, or he's undersized, he went to a small school, he can't consistently perform at this level, or he's injury prone, you know, and they try to put you in this box. And for myself, I wanted to paint the picture. I wanted to be Picasso. I wanted to show everybody what I was and who I was. And I knew that with hard work, it would be undeniable. I knew that, you know, at some point I would get a chance to play. At some point I would be healthy. And when I was never going to look back. I was gonna turn the page on everything people said about me and rewrite the next chapter. I think I did just that, and hear, you know, recognition like that from a guy like Kobe Bryant, who's arguably, you know, the best two guard to ever play the game, Hall of Famer, really big at two jerseys, retired, and someone I looked up to my entire life. I'm thankful for his recognition and for him, you know, seeing that in me, because I've worked extremely hard and I'm continuing to strive for greatness and continuing to try to put myself in a position where I can be one of the best players to ever play.
Right. And now you've got the fruits of the labor. As an example, I had former Oklahoma offensive tackle Orlando Brown, who's entering the NFL draft, on the show yesterday. We were talking about fashion. You're no stranger to fashion either. In fact, you've got a partnership with Banana Republic. How did that come about? And then how would you describe your approach to fashion?
Yeah, my agency did a good job of, you know, reaching out to Banana, and they expressed interest in me. And we kind of took off from there, doing different photo shoots in the summertime in New York City, you know, trying out different things. And I'm happy with the partnership and the relationship we have, and looking forward to continuing to build. And for me, I would say that my fashion, it changes, it evolves. A lot of times, you know, I'm in, you know, trench coat worthy gear because of the weather in Oregon, you know, overcoats and things of that nature because it's a little on the colder side. I love hoodies. I love dark colors. I love a gray olive green. And I try to mix it up from street style to suits to, you know, dressy casual sweats.
And plus, I got to think, it's partly geographical, right? You got to represent the Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Exactly.
I get that.
Exactly. That's huge. The Northwest swag, man. We wear a lot of hoodies, a lot of coats, boots, dark jeans, things of that nature to wear. You know, we try to show that we come from a cold place.
Got to represent. Listen, there's no way I'm going to talk to you and not ask you about your bro, Eric, who's tearing it up in Turkey right now. How pumped are you to see the season that he's having?
I'm very happy for him. You know, we put a lot of work in over the years, and we follow each other. We're still best friends to this day and continue to encourage each other. And, you know, with him leading, he's a leading vote getter right now for the All-Star game in Turkey. He's doing a great job of leading his team in the EuroLeague. He's been battling some injuries, but playing extremely well, and I'm looking forward to getting out to Europe again to visit him this summer.
Hey, listen, I respect the time he's put in, and I respect the time that you have put in, the two of you together. Can American fans vote for him to make that All-Star team? It sounds like he's doing great if he's the leading vote-getter right now, but can American fans vote?
Yes, American fans can vote. I'll post something on Twitter today. There's some links if you follow the Basketball League, or if you follow the EuroLeague, any of their handles on Twitter or Instagram, they give you specific directions with a link you can click on. But I'll also tweet something out again today. You can vote. I'm not sure when the voting ends, but he is the lead leader right now, the league leader.
All right, so in other words, it's all good. Well, except it's not all good because you're a Cleveland Browns fan. So, CJ, I got to ask, how would you describe this season and life in general as a Browns fan?
This season was a roller coaster ride, but it was just more so going uphill the entire time and never having the climax of going downhill. And as a Browns fan, Sundays are hard for us. You know, I always joke and say that, you know, the bye week and draft day are the best parts of the season for us, as well as when the season ends, because we never seem to be able to get things done. But I think we're heading in the right direction. We got some great draft picks. We have Josh Gordon back, and I'm looking forward to a new season. It doesn't get any worse than this past season. And I know that in my heart, deep down, we will make the playoffs before I die.
How do you know that?
Because the football gods will not allow me to go through life without seeing my Browns in the playoffs in my adulthood.
You know, this gets me to my next point. I mean, you're obviously very upbeat, very positive, somebody who's always looking at the glasses being half full. So how do you maintain that optimism when it comes to the Browns, when they keep doing the wrong things and breaking your heart?
I mean, I just feel like when you're loyal to something for so long, it has to turn around. You know, we have to turn the page and turn the corner at some point. We've missed a few times in the draft, and we've had some injuries in the draft, but I feel like it's only a matter of time before we get our Jimmy Garoppolo, or we get our Deshaun Watson, or we get our, you know, our Adrian Peterson. Like, it's only a matter of time before we hit the jackpot, and I think it's coming now in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, CJ, do you have an opinion? In the upcoming draft, you've got three or four guys who might be possibly franchise quarterbacks. Have you paid close attention to it? And if it were up to you, which quarterback would you take?
I think we have to really be smart about this quarterback situation, because it's hit or miss in every draft. And you can get lucky and get the right one, or you can pick early and get the wrong one. So we have to really be critical of this. I've heard that, you know, there's some interest in the Redskins quarterback, a mutual interest, and he's potentially going to be a free agent. So we could trade down, leverage that pick, and then get a quarterback who's already proven himself in the league, and take a running back. You know, the kid from Penn State's very good. There's a lot of other players out there that can change our franchise. So I just hope that we make the right decision. And once again, that's why the people in the front office get paid the big bucks and I get paid to watch.
Yeah, but you handled that pretty well now. Penn State guy you're talking about is Saquon Barkley, Kirk Cousins from D.C. CJ, one thing, you mentioned Josh Gordon. Game recognizes game, and I love talking to guys about their thoughts about guys in other sports. Josh Gordon has certainly had his problems off the field. It seems like he's done the hard work on himself. He's trying to turn things around. But, man, what an absolutely freaky athlete. Can you imagine the time that he missed? And for him to step right on the field and play the way he did, as a fan and even as a fellow pro athlete, what do you make when you see him on the field doing what he does?
Man, he's special. Be special, and to be able to overcome some of the things he has in the past, and you know, right his wrongs, and get back on the right track. I'm happy for him, and I think the sport needs to see that. Need to see someone get a second chance and overcome, you know, different obstacles. But you talk about an athlete, a physical specimen who's able to, you know, take multiple years off, still train, still work on his body, still stay in shape, still run, you know, a 4.3 40, and be an NFL player. Through the ups and downs of this entire process, and to come back and have an impact just shows you the type of skills he has, and first and foremost, and the type of blessings God has given him. So I just hope that he continues to take advantage of it, stays on the right track, and helps take my Browns to the promised land.
CJ McCollum, my guest. Listen, one last thought. Didn't mean to keep you this long, but when you talk about an athlete and a specimen and a guy who's different, you look at LeBron and you look at what he's doing at this age and the level he's playing at and the kind of miles he has on him, because he started so early, got into the NBA at an early age, has played so many games in the postseason. I mean, to you, if you do what he does and you take care of your body, is that the new normal, or is that never going to be normal, and is he just a different freak of nature altogether?
No, he's definitely a freak of nature. There's nothing normal about, you know, 15 years of greatness, you know, being under the microscope so much, 8 straight finals, playing arguably the best basketball of your career 15 years in. There's nothing like this. I think he's the exception to the rule. He's done a great job of taking care of his body, obviously. You know, very particular about what he's eating, what he's putting into his body. I know the red wine is a remedy I've been using for 3 or 4 years now, so I'm glad to see that, you know, he's enjoyed his wine and says that this is the best basketball he's playing. But I think that just the steps he's made in his game, he came in wanting to become a better jump shooter, shoot 40% from three. He came in wanting to win a championship. He's done that. He came in wanting to lead the league in assists. He's been close to doing that. And to see the strides he's made as a kid from Canton, Ohio, it's inspirational, because I know what he's come from, and I know what I've come from, and to see him be at the top of his game for this long is special.
Well, man, I keep trying to let you go, and you keep saying interesting things. All right, so one last bonus, the red wine thing. You're happy to see him with the red wine thing. What's your process with the red wine? Is it one glass a night? How much do you have and when? What's the process?
I try to get a glass like probably every other night, every couple of nights. So big win, I'm getting the glass out the cellar, or I'm cracking open the bottle. My girl's in town, we're definitely cracking open the bottle. We're in Oregon, so you know there's some great Pinots out there. I know Coach Pop invested in the A to Z, so I have about 20 A to Z wine bottles in my cellar, and I'll continue to stack it up. But my cousin's fiance actually works at a winery in the Bay Area, so she's been helping me out, sending me different bottles, and then, you know, just different people have been gifting me, you know, varieties of reds, and I got to credit my girlfriend, because she put me on when I was in college, and it's changed my life.
See, that's it. That's what I was going to say. We were married in Napa. Like, I want to be a wine guy so badly, but I know nothing about it, and I'm not that guy, and I was going to say to you, how did you get the bug? But you're saying it's your girl. She turned you on to it in college.
Yeah, you know, I was drinking the other stuff, and I started tasting that, and I was like, wow, this is life-changing. You know, it's a nice, chill buzz. You're able to, you know, still function. You're able to still recover at a rapid rate. And what they say is, you know, one glass a day is good for the heart, as long as you're drinking it in moderation. So it's something that I've adjusted to. And I think as you get older, you acquire the taste, because at first it was disgusting.
Pinot, Cab, Red, what?
Yeah, Pinot and Cab is my go-to. I really love Pinot, though. Any Pinot, you know, especially from Oregon or the Napa area, I'm destroying it.
My man, I'm white. Gin. I may have to rethink that thing, though, because my recovery is not as good as yours, and it's not a nice, chill buzz. But you know what? You're in my head. I think I got to learn this thing. CJ McCollum. In fact, every time you come on, I learn something. My man, you are the best. CJ, so good to have you on. And again, I really do apologize. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but you were that good. Thanks so much.
No worries, man. I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you. Be good. CJ McCollum, one of my favorites. He and Dame both. The Blazers both. That's like, I want to be that wine guy. You've heard me talk about the Magic Blue. Janet and I got married in Napa, and not because we are wine people, because we are not. Janet will drink a little bit of wine, but he said it's life-changing. He said that more than once. I don't know. I might have to learn that game because I don't have that game. I don't know that game. It's just not my thing, but he said it's life-changing. Just a nice glass every other day, nice little buzz, do it after a good win. And he said that when he started to consume the right stuff, that's when it all got better. He is so good. I love CJ McCollum.